fact of the matter is that we're not forced to be here this afternoon. There are those that are not able to be here because they are out of town, because some are sick. For other reasons, there could be some that are here because they choose not to be here. And it goes back to some issues. The quoting of Hebrews 10, verse 25, and answer to that does not fix the issue. Not forsaking yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more. As you see the day approaching, this forsaking of the assembling, that doesn't touch the issue. It states a fact about the result. But the issue has to do with the spiritual aspect. But I mention this because those that are here want to be here. That's a grand thing. There are those that will spend this Sunday watching 3 hours of baseball or 3 hours of football in a stadium and not flinch and paying the money to get in and never move from their seats and be totally enthralled. And the fact of the matter is that we only do what we want to do. We really can't be forced into anything. Your presence here shows that you have an interest in God's Word. We are going to look at a lesson I've entitled, You Search the Scriptures, But For What Purpose? And we go back and we think about where this came from. Familiarity with God's Word, we see in John 5, chapter verse 39, Jesus says to the Jews, You search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. He stood before the Sanhedrin. They were to be the spiritual leaders of the people of the day. A people that should have been led looking for the true Christ, the Messiah. And then when he presented himself as that, he was summarily dismissed as the Christ, as the Messiah, even as a prophet of God by those Jews. He can't be it. He can't be it. It's because of a preconceived idea about what this Messiah, this Christ, was to be. Their problem, as you see, when we look in verses 37 through 41, and the Father himself who sent me has testified to me, you have neither heard his voice nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you. Jesus gets right to the root cause, the real problem that the Jews had, and he addresses it. You don't have the word of God abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. And he says, you search the scriptures for them, and you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men. And the Messiah, the Christ that they were looking for, was one that they could place honor upon. He would come in as a warrior Messiah. He would remove the bondage that the people were under at the time. They searched the scriptures, but they searched the scriptures with the preconceived idea of what they were looking for in the first place, in opposition to what God revealed. And Jesus is telling them here, you do not have the word abiding in you, so you can't really see the true Christ, the true Messiah. You can't see me. We think about John 5, verse 42. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. Here's another problem that they had. Not only was the word not abiding in them, and them not following after that word, but they did not have the love of God in them. And they had been told in the very scriptures that they had searched, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And he said, of course, we look there in Matthew 22nd chapter, he also said, and liken unto that first commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon those two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. And what Jesus says there transcends all dispensations and all covenants. It is really an overriding truth about what we are to do. It is that which we must do in order to be pleasing unto God. We must love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And also we help. We help others. But they did not have the love of God in them. They were more interested in themselves. They were more interested in their position, more interested in their control over the people And in verses 46 and 47, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" You search the scriptures, but you totally overlook what has been even said by Moses to where you say your allegiance is. And as you go on down to the 8th chapter of John, it's easy to tell where their allegiance was. It was in their lineage. It was something that John the Baptizer had addressed when he was preaching before his death. And the people he addressed, especially the Jews, the ruling Jews, do not say that we have Abraham to our father because God is able of these stones that are laying around here to raise up children unto Abraham. Their lineage was in their allegiance was in their lineage and in their position. In John 8, 37, 38, here's another problem that they had. "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you." The truth was secondary. It didn't mean anything. Our desire first, what we want first. Truth doesn't matter. Truth cannot get in. We're not going to allow truth to get in the way of what we want. And then when we look over in Matthew 15, verses 8 through 9, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So here are the problems in connection with you search the scriptures, you have a familiarity with the scriptures, but it's to your own end. It's to your own desires, not to what God says. The word is not abiding in you. You don't have the love of God in you. You don't believe what has been delivered to you through God's word. And so that word has no place in you. And you teach as commandment over and above that which God has revealed as true commandments. Jesus gets to the root of the matter. And if we think that this is a problem just 2,000 years ago, think again. The very same thing stands true today. The very reason that people just have a familiarity with God's Word and not a true understanding of God's Word, and the reason that they don't go to God's Word also, is the very thing that is being discussed here with the Jewish leadership. And things don't change. Technology changes. People don't change. And the result of thinking in this carnal way doesn't change because people remain the same. And that transcends 2,000 years. That goes all the way back to the beginning. And so there was a familiarity that they had with the Word, but it was not from the standpoint of loving God. And it's an honorable endeavor to search the Scriptures. We see in Acts 17 and verse 11, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica," that is, those that Paul was meeting with in Berea, "in that they received the word of God with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so." That's an honorable endeavor. I don't care who the preacher is. I don't care if it's a name that is recognized. I don't care the popularity of the person. I don't care how big the congregation is that he preaches for. If there is not the receiving of the word with readiness of mind and then searching the scriptures to make sure that they are so, in other words, the things that are being taught, you understand that gives deference to man rather than to God. And allegiances turn then to man rather than to God. In 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17, Paul tells the young preacher, "You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that every scripture that is inspired of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work." Whenever that is forgotten, the sufficiency of God's word, whenever that is forgotten, well then we begin to have doctrines of men such as the very wise deal with situation ethics. And situation ethics will say, well, in some cases, it's right to lie. We can lie. We just have to choose those cases where the best for everyone is involved, and then we can tell a lie if that is the case. Everybody then is okay, and no one's hurt from it. But I will tell you, as we look at Scripture, there is always someone that is hurt by that which is a lie. That's just a fact. And so he says the Holy Scriptures are here, that honorable endeavoring of searching the Scriptures, but in connection with salvation. And it is the only way that we understand what God would have us to do so that we have the hope of eternal life. That we can be saved. That we can be pleasing to Him. But the question of all this is, what you search the Scripture, but for what purpose? What is your purpose in it? For some, as we read in 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16, consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them things in which some things are hard to understand. We'll just stop right there for just a moment. I believe that Peter is correct in that. There are some things that are hard to understand. He didn't say impossible. He said hard to understand. But he also gives this aspect to it, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they also do the rest of the Scriptures. And you think about that, even among brethren today. Pure religion, undefiled before God, is this, that you visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. James 1 and verse 27. Unfortunately, we have brethren that focus in on that, and they don't search the Scriptures beyond that point, and so the social gospel aspect comes into place, which they really want to be involved in. By the way, the reason why, you look around about and you see these large mega churches and the gospel's not being taught. No one is being cut to the heart because the gospel's not being taught. Obedience to God is not demanded. To be a better person is, as far as society is concerned, and to not be rejected by society. That is the hope. And that's what's being taught. But we see here that there are those that search the Scriptures, such as in Paul's writing, that the untaught and unstable people twist or torture to their own destruction. That's 2,000 years ago. Same thing today. People take the Scriptures and they torture the Scriptures. They don't really get to the matter of truth. They find something they like and they stop there. I remember in a study one time that I had with Brother James Duvall, now deceased. He talked about a brother that had been involved in some liberalism in his previous life. And he said, the way that I looked at the Bible was I'd come across a passage that said something and sounded good. I wouldn't look at the context. I wouldn't look at anything else other than that one passage. And then that would be whatever it is that I believe. And that happens today. We go over to John, the 14th chapter, where Jesus says to his apostles, you ask anything in my name and I will do it. Talked about a blank check this morning. Some want to have that blank check. Well, Lord, if that's the case, then yeah, let's get that Mercedes in the garage. Pay off that mortgage. Matter of fact, find me a bigger house. Let's fill that bank account with money to the full and take away all my worries. Because you said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you think that there's no context that goes behind what Jesus is saying? He was saying in connection with speaking the truth and teaching the truth. You pray in connection with that and I will do it, he says. And he did that. He gave them inspiration by which they could do that. We see in 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through 5, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. When are those last days? They're right now. They started then, 2,000 years ago, and they continue until time is no more. He says this is what will happen. When men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such turn away. And do we not see that today? Just over the past few weeks, there has been news reports of pastors in large churches that stepped down because inappropriate actions with members and also with children. And all of that in connection with a form of godliness that they had in order to get their way and to take control of those that they were praying upon. And we see that. Not only that, but all these things that are mentioned here, we're seeing that today. We understand. Are we looking to God's Word and search them so that we don't fall into the trap that Paul warned Timothy about? That we recognize what is there. That is, that what we do is just not a form of God-towardness, that's godliness, that God-towardness, but it is the actual thing that we are involved in. It is that which helps us conduct our life to be pleasing unto God. How are we studying those scriptures? How do we search the scriptures? 2 Corinthians 4, chapter and verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. I've been witness to this, and I'm sure that you have too, that there are those who will handle the word of God deceitfully. There will be those who will take the word of God in order to twist it so that their traditions that they want to keep on doing are not denied by Scripture. And I tell you, you can make the Scripture say anything you want to. If not, Peter wouldn't have said that the unstable and unlearned twist or torture the Scripture. You can make the Scripture say anything you want to. And when you look back at this, you also see those that want to be accepted by the world and the wonderful words that are spoken in the religious quarters of the world that sound so good, that draw people in, but really do not get down to the truth. So it's on either end of the spectrum. Searching the Scriptures. What for what purpose? Why do we look into God's Word? Is it to follow a tradition, a Church of Christ tradition? I don't know how many times I've said this, so I'm going to say it again, so that you can do exactly what took place down in the prison several years ago in Cuero. I don't know how many times I was asked, what does the Church of Christ teach on a particular subject? And the scriptural response to that is absolutely nothing. The Church of Christ is not the legislative authority. God is. And we understand that when we look in Matthew the 16th chapter, verse 19, and also Matthew the 18th chapter, verses 18 and following. Whatever you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will already have been loosed in heaven. God is the legislator and He is the truth giver. The church is not. It is to teach and to edify in accordance with that truth, but it does not determine the truth. And so there are those that will handle the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God is what we should search the scriptures for, so that we can do, that people will accept not us, but they accept God in His word. We see others. John 6:63-69. Jesus says there, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe and who would betray Him. And He said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. How does the Father grant that? Of course, we have religious teaching today. Well, there is some unseen force that comes down, speaks into our heart, and then we're directed by what that force says, and then we're pleasing unto God, rather than what is stated here. He says to His disciples, you remember, Jesus said some very hard sayings to the Jews just prior to this. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part in me. They understood, of course, the Jews did, that cannibalism was not allowed by God. They understood that. They understood that the idolatrous worship, which often included blood and the drinking of blood, was not given by God. They understood that. But Jesus wasn't saying that. He wasn't talking about the Lord's Supper. He's talking, unless you take me in fully, then I'm not going to be a part of you. And so He says to His disciples, to the 12, in verse 67, do you want to go away also? And then Peter speaks up. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe that and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What led Peter to be able to see that? He saw the demonstration of truth in Christ Jesus that was before them. He understood that by what was displayed. He understood that by what was being taught from God's Word and put into practice by Christ Jesus. In 1 John 5 and verse 13, John at the end of this letter says, "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Have you ever asked somebody, are you going to be saved? Are you saved? Have you ever got the reply back, "Well, I hope so"? John says here, don't say that. He says, "The things that I've written to you, you may know that you have eternal life." And that word "know" there is the Greek word eido. And eido is absolute surety, an understanding from absolute surety. "And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." He tells us, and it should be our purpose, that Christ Jesus has the words of life, and that we know our relationship with Him and with the Father because of the words that are in Scripture given to us. We know. We don't guess about it. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 5, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers, because their ears are itching, and be turned aside to fables. But you," as he speaks to Timothy again, this young preacher, "be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your work, your ministry." Well, how? Preach the word. Psychology? No. Man's theology? No. Plato, others, the great wise ones of the world, well, that's what we need to follow? No. It is the Word of God. Preach the Word. Why is it that we must do that? You know, do you search the Scriptures? We see in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, "Diligent, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," or handling the word of truth with precision. The problem that people get into is that they're more interested in proving their actions rather than finding the truth. That can't be what Christians are about. When we see that there is inconsistencies with our thoughts as compared to the truth that comes from God, it's a no-brainer. We change our ways, we ask forgiveness, and then we correct our path. And we think differently. That's called repentance. We think differently. 1 Timothy 4, 13 through 16, "Till I come," again, Paul gives admonition to this young preacher, "till I come, give attendance to reading." Why? "Because in them are the words of life." Remember John 6, 63? "To exhortation," that's what comes from the word, "to exhort one another, to encourage one to the doctrine that comes from God, not from man. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given to you by prophecy with laying on of my own hands, of the hands of the eldership." I believe here he's talking about not only his position, but also the miraculous gifts that he received from Paul. "Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that you may progress, that it may be evident to all." In other words, we live the life that shows forth faith. I've mentioned it before, let me mention it again. How do we know that Abraham was faithful? We go back to Hebrews 11 chapter, that whole section there of the faithful. We see Noah, we see Abel, we see Abraham, we see Moses. We see all those different ones. How do we know that they were, by what they did? They demonstrated God's word to them with their faith put into action and showed them that they were with God. "That your progress may be evident to all. Take heed yourself unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in so doing you will both save yourself and those that hear you." You understand, Christians. And this is not from a standpoint of arrogance. If we understand that the truth comes from God, here is the absolute truth. Christians have the words of life if they are using God's word. I've heard someone say, "Well, you know, I can't save anybody." And I think it's an excuse that some Christians make. Right here, Paul says, continue in them, that is the doctrine and so forth, that he meditate upon those things. Continue in them, for in so doing, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Let me tell you what, silence by Christians to those that need to hear the truth is a killer. To not teach God's word is a killer. It is taking the words of life away from ears that might hear. I understand Matthew the 13th chapter with the parable of the seed and the sower. There were those that the devil caught away. There were those that had great joy in listening to the word of the Lord, and then because of the cares of this world, they fell away, and that some had the weeds strangle them. I understand that, but I also understand from that same parable that there were good and honest hearts that did hear and did produce. We don't do the saving, we understand that, but I would say that as far as our agency as children of God, we do. As far as agents of God, we teach in order to save. For the right purpose. When we look in the 25th Psalm, verse 4 and 5, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. We have an attitude that's expressed here by the psalmist, by David. There's a reason David was called a man after God's own heart, and I think one of the things that is expressed here shows why God said that I have chosen a man after mine own heart. Look at what he says again. Show me your ways, O Lord, not my ways. Not unto us, he mentions that in another song. Not unto us is the glory, but unto you. And he says, teach me your paths, not my ways. And he recognized what Jeremiah had said in the 10th chapter, verse 23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps, because the only thing that can come from that is stumbling and falling. And he said, lead me in your truth and teach me. Not in man's wisdoms, not in man's thought. Teach me your truth. For you are the God of my salvation. Where else would I turn? And that's what he's saying here. On you I wait all the day. And he's not talking about sitting back and waiting. He's talking about the instruction that comes from God. I wait for your instruction. I don't go on my own path. When we think about these things, we search the scriptures. There'll be a part two to this at some point in time. Well, I'm going to go ahead and end this here. Sandy, go ahead and come on in. And I want to ask you, first of all, are we searching the scriptures? Do we go to God's word? When was the last time you opened your Bible? Had a dear sister some time ago that gave me a Bible cover. And she said, I want you to have that Bible cover so that your Bible doesn't collect dust. And I said, thank you so much for the Bible cover. And I was very kind and everything. I thought to myself, I better not let the Bible be collecting dust. I better be using it. Think that's just for the preacher? Think that's just for the elders, for the deacons? In Hosea, the 4th chapter and verse 6, God, through Hosea, says this, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Are we searching the scriptures? And if we are searching the scriptures, what is the purpose? Is it to do our own will or is it to do God's will? Let's make sure that we're looking to God and His Word, because therein is salvation. And there's no place else. Maybe those here that are not Christians, there's a desire for you that God has, and that was made evident by what He did. He gave His Son. It's evident that He has a desire to save your souls by what He did. He gave His Word, the instruction. It's evident by what He did in that He did not withhold all the blessings that can come upon you that are in Christ Jesus. Will you this day, if you're not a child of God, be baptized for remission of your sins and start that walk and start searching the scriptures? Then those of us today that are Christians,
Are we searching the scriptures or?
I don't have time for that. That's another thing that you hear said quite often. I don't have time. Fact of the matter is that we'll make time to do anything that we want to do. That's just the fact of the matter. If I'm wrong with that, see me and correct me, but I believe that to be the truth. If you need the prayers of the saints, we're here to pray with you and for you. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.